You're listening to a sermon from the Mission Church in Shelby Township, Michigan. It's our prayer that today's word would challenge you, inspire you, and build your faith. Enjoy the sermon.
So I do want to begin by saying thanks so much for those of you who pray for me. I love preaching. I love sermon prep. And every once in a while, I hit like a brick wall in your sermon prep where there's just extra battle. This sermon was one of those where I knew what the Holy Spirit was laying in my heart and I knew what I wanted to say, but just could not gain traction on it like the entire week. And so I put the finishing touches on it this morning at like 6 a.m. And so thanks for praying. If you don't pray regularly for me, please do. And if you're an intercessor, you could have maybe one ear towards heaven, one ear towards me, and be interceding for me as I pray. Because anytime there's extra battle in sermon prep, I know that, man, the devil hates this one. And so may God lead and may we encounter him. So today is week 3 of our series, a series titled In a Desert. And again, this is a topic that we don't talk about much in the American church, but we should. And my sermon today is actually the subtitle of this series, What to Do When Your Faith Isn't Working. What to do when your faith isn't working. And that title really sums it up. What do you do on your spiritual journey when your faith doesn't work like it used to? When things like reading the Bible is a battle that you lose on most days? Or when you question if your prayers really matter? When even showing up to church feels like a chore, when God feels pretty distant. And when you're in a desert season like that, what do you do when that happens? That's what I'm going to be preaching on today. And as I do, I'm going to be continually sharing one of the most desert seasons of my spiritual journey. I'm going to share my story, and as I do, I pray you hear your story and mine. As I share. The anchor scripture for our series is Psalm 63. David, King David, is being pursued by enemies who want to kill him. And to make matters worse, he is distant from God because under the old covenant era, God resided in the temple. And David is far. He's in the desert. So he's in an actual desert. And he's also in a spiritual desert, feeling distant from God. And so with that in mind, let me read Psalm 63 to you in its entirety. This is the word of the Lord, Psalm 63, verse 1. David cries out, "Oh God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My body faints for you in a dry and weary land where there is no water. I have seen you," past tense, "I have seen you in the sanctuary and beheld your power and your glory. Because your love is better than life, my lips will praise you. I will so bless you as long as I live, and in your name I will lift up my hands. My soul will be satisfied as with the richest of foods, and with singing lips, my mouth will praise you. When I'm on my bed, I remember you. I meditate on you through the watches of the night. Because you are my help, I shout with joy in the shadow of your wings. I stay close to you. Your right hand upholds me. Those who seek my life will be destroyed. They will go down to the depths of the earth. They'll be delivered over to the hands of the sword and become food for jackals. But the king will rejoice in God. All who swear by God's name will praise him, though the mouths of liars will be silenced." So it takes you on a journey in this psalm, describing where he is, but then what also he's going to do while he's in that desert. And that's our anchor passage of this series. I'm going to press into it a bit more than I have over the past few weeks today. And again, in week three, going back to the first two Sundays, I took you back and I've been sharing a desert experience for me when I was in seminary 25 years ago out in California, when I was out there for 3 years, and specifically during year two of seminary. So during week one of the series, the sermon was titled, "When I Almost Lost My Faith," and that sermon title was not an exaggeration, happened while I was in seminary. I shared how for a number of months while I was going to school, studying to be a pastor, I was more of an atheist than a believer. As strange as that sounds, the devil got in my head. A lot of confusion, but by the grace of God, truly by the grace of God, over a number of months, I began to get my questions answered, confusion left, and belief filled my heart and my mind once again. But then I shared, that was week one. Week two, I said, well, as I got all that faith crisis, I was not out of the desert yet. The devil's attack went from my head to my heart, from my mind to my emotions. And I began to have true emotional breakdowns. I began to have what I called sobbing attacks, where a wave of emotion would hit me, where I'd break down like hyperventilating, crying as hard as I've ever cried in my life for 30 to 45 seconds. And then that sobbing attack would leave as quickly as it came, sometimes happening a few times in one day. And I shared how the best thing happened to me. I thought it was the worst thing, but it turned out to be the best thing when one of my professors walked in during one of my sobbing attacks in the men's room at the seminary. And that led to me opening up to him, to that professor, and then he shared with other professors and invited me to lean in to other friends and let them know, to have them praying for me, to meet with other professors as well. And that was critical on my healing journey out of the desert. So last week I shared how I was going to mention in the sermon today one thing that one of the professors said to me that was truly a game changer, was huge for me. And by the way, in case you missed those two sermons, I'd love for you, they're on our home, or on the media tab on our website, also on YouTube. We have a picture, I believe, yep, of those two sermons. You can find them on YouTube. Some nice light and fluffy topics when I almost lost my faith in the devil's number one strategy. A fun fact, while all that was going on, while my faith crisis was happening and my sobbing attacks, I was in a Hebrew class, an exegetical Hebrew class, and I had to write a paper, which is a deep dive on a passage of Scripture going back to the original languages. And my teacher gave a handful of passages that we could do the exegetical paper, the deep dive into Hebrew on, and one of them was Psalm 63. I was not familiar with that psalm, and I read through all the different options, like a half a dozen, and as soon as I got to Psalm 63, I was like, that's me. I am David. I'm in a desert. And so I decided to write my paper that I titled In a Desert, very autobiographical, as I wrote about David. So during my time in the desert, again, I was found out by one of my professors. I began to meet with a few of them. And one of the professors that I met with, I'm not going to give his name because he gave me some really great advice, but he also gave me some bad advice. And as I shared last week, that's the way it is. When you invite people in, you need to take that risk. Invite people in to your struggles. Don't do it alone. And nobody's perfect, though. Like, Spirit-filled believers don't always say everything perfectly the way God would say it. So sometimes people say things that might sting instead of help. And so as I shared, it's same as you read any book. Chew the meat, spit out the bones. Take the good, throw out the bad. Now, I didn't feel like I could share with my professors, like, hey, by the way, I'm teetering on becoming an atheist here. Couldn't go that raw, but I shared, I feel like I'm in a desert. I'm feeling like God's pretty distant. And I shared some things, again, the amount that I felt comfortable with a few of my professors. With this one guy, when I shared that, I felt like I was in a desert, that God felt distant. He started off by giving me some pretty horrible advice. The meeting did not start off well. The bad advice he gave me was this. He said, if God feels distant, guess who moved? There was like a ton of guilt built into that statement. He didn't mean that. I think he wanted to be helpful. But basically what he was saying was, hey, if God feels far away, he didn't move, you move. That's basically what he was saying. And when he said that, it piled on the guilt. It made me feel even worse, because I guess it's my fault. The truth was, I did not feel like I moved away from God. There was not some major sin pattern in my life or anything like that. I thought I was doing the same things I always did, but God felt a million miles away from me, and I didn't know why. And so that was some bad advice, and I was pretty emotionally raw at the time. What he said stung, but I didn't just say, well, excuse me, I'm really angry I met with you. You're a horrible professor, and walk out or something like that. Instead, I just paid attention, said, okay, that's some bones I need to spit out. I need to chew the meat. And so I practiced what I preached. I did not allow that statement to define me, because he also gave some incredible advice. So the bad advice was that. The good advice was this. Basically, in so many words, he said this. He said, do something. That's a summary of like an hour-long conversation. Before I share more of my story, I want to go back to Psalm 63 when David was in the desert, when he was far from the presence of God, because this is so important. Instead of staying stuck, instead of having a pity party, instead of playing the victim card, instead of feeling sorry for himself, like woe is me, woe is me, woe is me, that's the psalm, he cried out to God, he was honest, but then he did a number of things in the present as well as he declared some things he was going to do in the future. So first of all, he cried out to God. He declared that he wanted to connect with God. Again, going back to verse 1, he said, "Oh God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My body faints for you in a dry and weary land where there is no water." And then in verses 3 and 5, he said, "My lips will praise you. With singing lips, my mouth will praise you." He declared he is going to worship God. Even when everything's not perfect, he's going to do it. Going back to the song, he's saying, "I trust in God." Then in verse 6, he said this, something else he's doing. "When I'm on my bed, I remember you. I meditate on you through the watches of the night." And so that was in the present tense at the time in the desert under a million stars. He's saying, "God, right now, I'm going to remember your works and your words." And then finally, verse 8, speaking to God, he declared, "Your right hand, God, upholds me." David declared, even while he was in the desert, even while everything was upside down, even while enemies are trying to hunt him down and want him dead, he's saying, "God, you uphold me. God, your power is sustaining me." And he is declaring that. And so while David was in the desert, in actual desert, in a spiritual desert, he did something. He did a number of things. He didn't just have a pity party and feel sorry for himself. And that's where the 63rd Psalm intersects with my story. My professor's advice was to begin doing something. This action step is so important. And I pray just the Holy Spirit would breathe on this. That when you're in a spiritual desert, some pastors and theologians call it a dark night of the soul. You oftentimes don't feel like doing anything. That was me when it came to connecting with God, with drawing near to God. I didn't do anything, like nothing, for months. The only time I opened my Bible was because when I had to study for a test. But having a quiet time, a devotional time, connecting with God, did nothing. I stopped reading my Bible to connect with God because it was just words on a page to me. I quit praying because I thought I was just talking to the walls. I was interning at a church, but I didn't attend more than I attended. My spiritual journey was in neutral at best, at a dead stop. At worst. Well, I'm in seminary. And so when I was talking to my professor, he encouraged me to do something, even if it was a small something. This is so important. Don't despise small beginnings. He asked me he said, "Hey, so how have you connected with God in the past? What are some, on your spiritual journey, spiritual pathways, what are some ways that you've drawn close to God in the past?" And I talked to him about how I love reading Christian books. And he asked me, "Well, who was your favorite author?" Back then, again, this was about the year 2000, Max Lucado was one of my favorite authors. And so he told me, "Hey, here's something to consider. Pull one of your books off the shelf." I brought like maybe a couple banker boxes of my books from the house back here out to California with me. It says, pull a book off the shelf or maybe go out to the store, buy a new one, and read a chapter a day. And view that as your quiet time, quote unquote, as your time with God. Now, if you've ever read a Max Lucado book, and here is, I think, the first one I ever bought, Max Lucado, Hearing God Through the Storm, A Gentle Thunder. Max Lucado chapters are like really short. Like here's one chapter here. Let's count the pages. One. Count. Two. Three and a quarter. I mean, it's like short. That's it. That's a chapter. That's like some chapters are like really long. They're like six pages. Super short. I mean, you can read that in 2 minutes. And so I remember asking him like if that counted. Because I want to be reading my Bible. He said, well, what are you doing right now for your quiet time? And I said, well, to be honest, I haven't done one of those in like several months. And he said, okay, Dan, which do you think is better? Continuing doing nothing to connect with God or reading three pages from a Max Lucado book? You pick. Which do you think is better? When you're in a desert, do something, even if it's a small something. Don't despise small beginnings. In addition to that advice, which I took him up on, he challenged me to get on my calendar and give God one day. He said, don't do any homework, don't do any studying, but he said, take out one day, carve out time, and just say, God, here I am. And what he recommended was this. Again, I'm like 40 miles east of Los Angeles, so like in an hour, depending on traffic, there's like a half a dozen amazing beaches I could go to, like Laguna Beach or Newport Beach or Huntington Beach, and just like up and down. And so he said, pick a beach and go to it, not to get a tan, but to connect with God. He said, go by yourself. Don't go with anybody from the school. Just spend some time in solitude and silence. And he said, this is very important. When you're there, no distractions. So on the way there, no sports talk radio, no secular music, maybe play a worship CD. That's okay. But just shut the world out. And then when you're there, this was back in the days of like CD players. So you can play a CD in your CD player with your earbuds, maybe do some rollerblading or whatever. Back then, just as a fun fact, I truly owned like three worship CDs. One Stephen Curtis Chapman and two Hillsong CDs. That was it. That was the extent of my collection. Again, there's a lot of amazing worship music out now, but back 25 years ago, there just wasn't. But I had three CDs. So I said, okay, I'll take you up on that offer. So next Saturday, he's like, and don't wait, do it. So it was like 2-3 days later, I pushed, like just rearranged my calendar, hopped in my car, and I drove in silence over halfway there, no radio, nothing. And then at one point, I put in a Hillsong's CD, and I just started playing it. And again, it's about an hour drive. And one of the songs on the CD was called Breathe. Darlene Check sings it. And I want to read some of the lyrics to you. They're not going to be on the screen, but I just want to read these to you. Here's what she sings. Breathe on me. Breath of God. Love and life that makes me free. Breathe on me. Breath of God. Fan the flame within me. Teach my heart. Heal my soul. Speak the life that in Christ we know. Take me to your sanctuary. Breathe on me. And so I'm playing that song, driving down a freeway, doing 70 miles an hour, whatever it was, and tears start coming down my cheeks. But for the first time in months, it was a gentle cry. It was not a sobbing attack. It was like just the wall that I felt was separating me and God started to crumble, started to break down. And so I got to the beach. My heart's already being tenderized. And I spent the day there, like watched the sun go down. And for most of the time, I just sat in a beach chair and I was still. Played some of the worship CDs I had. Had some fun going rollerblading up and down the path along the beachfront, waterfront. Read a few chapters from my Max Lucado book, which took like 8 minutes or so, you know. But I began to heal a little bit that day. I remember at one point just sitting at the waterfront, tide coming in the night, the wind just blowing off the ocean, and just sitting like arms up like this and just acting as if the wind was the breath of God. And I remember just saying out loud, breathe on me. Breath of God, just. And that was my day at the beach. That was my day with God. And that was the first step out of the desert in a significant way. It was the first step out. I had several hundred more steps that I still needed to take to get all the way out. I wish I could tell you, yeah, I was back to normal after day one, but I was not. It took several more months to feel semi-normal again and several more months beyond that to actually feel fully alive spiritually again. So I started going to the beach every Saturday, basically, no matter what. And over the next several months, the sobbing attacks began to happen less and less frequently. I started to have fun. I found my passion for God once again. And there's still more to the story, believe it or not. So once again, this sermon is going to be very much to be continued. You got to come back next week. And again, invite a friend. Invite a friend. If you think, man, I wish so-and-so was here today, please share the sermons on YouTube, but please get them here. But for now, today, I want to give you some action steps. I want to give you some ways to live out the sermon. Here's the first one I give you. It's pray for desire to draw near to God. Pray for desire to draw near to God. I want to go back to the 63rd Psalm, where David cries out, "Oh God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My body faints for you in a dry and weary land where there is no water." Now, when you're in a desert, it would be great if you felt that way. I didn't feel that way. Again, I didn't feel anything toward God. And so if by the way, if that's where who you are today, and I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but if you barely made it to church today, because you're in a battle right now, you're in a desert right now, I am so glad you're here. Amen. There's victory. There's victory in simply getting here. But if you're in a desert, a great thing to do is pray for desire, asking God to give you the desire to seek him, basically asking for Psalm 63 verse 1 to become true if it's not. Maybe praying, God, I want to seek you. God, give me a greater desire to seek you. Maybe taking the words and paraphrasing it. Back in June, we did the Training Verse Trying series. And going back to some of those action steps, taking the words from Psalm 63, verse 1, turn into a prayer, praying scripture, God, I want to earnestly seek you, because God, right now I don't, if I'm honest. God, I want my soul to thirst for you, because right now I don't. God, I want my body to faint for you. God, I'm in a desert. God, I feel weary. Help me to be drawn to, once again, the living water. And again, if that's you, at the end of the service, prayer team will be up front. We'll pray for anybody about anything, any week. You came in with a burden, something heavy. Come up for prayer for anything. But if right now you feel like a spotlight's on you because you're in a desert, please come up for prayer. Please come up for prayer. That's your first action step. Pray for desire to draw near to God. And just as a side note, if you're in a pretty good place with God right now, if you're not in a desert, then just say, God, give me greater desire for you. God, give me even greater desire. With God, there's always more. With God, there's always more. Don't be complacent. Your next action step. What's something that you used to do to grow spiritually, but it's been a while? Again, just pray the Holy Spirit right now brings to mind how you need to answer that question. As I shared my story, I shared how I, at the time, in year two of seminary, I loved reading Christian books. And God really used books beyond the Bible to help me grow in my faith. But at one point, it was months since I had any form of a quiet time at all. Months since I picked up any Christian book. And so what about you? What's something, because there's seasons for everything, but what is something that you used to do to grow spiritually, that you drew near to God and it was effective, but it's been a while, and you're realizing maybe even right now in this moment, yeah, it's been a while. I fell out of that habit of doing that thing that was very effective for me. And as you think about how you answer, maybe it's one thing, maybe it's a few things. As the Holy Spirit leads you, maybe there's an invitation there from God to nudge you to start back up. To start back up doing it. One of the strengths, if you choose to do the digging deeper questions as your small group, right? There's power of community. So you can answer that question, but if this is actually question number 7 in the digging deeper questions, that if you answer this in a group, say you're in a small group of this right now, that you hear different ideas and suggestions from others and go, man, I've never done that, but that's a great idea. Tell me more. I'd like to learn more. And we can learn from one another. Because there's multiple, like, there's one way to the Father is through Jesus, but there are a lot of pathways to connect with God. There's a lot of pathways, right? I connect with God a lot through my mind. Other people connect with God through serving, through putting their faith in action. Some people, the primary way is praise and worship. You're like, man, why are you preaching so long? I like to sing longer every Sunday. That's some of you. I bless you. I do, right? Others of you, it's in nature. You just connect with God. When you're in the outdoors, God's creation, man, God is real. So what's something you used to do grow spiritually, but it's been a while? Final action step for today is, what would your one day with God look like? I shared how my professor encouraged me to get to the beach and give God a day. If you had a day on your calendar to do the same thing, where would you go? And what would you do? And I want to challenge you to not just talk about it, not just wish, but actually get out your calendar and do it. We just turned the calendars to August, Labor Day's in a month. So we have one more calendar month until the unofficial end of summer, at least in the state of Michigan. So you have a calendar month. And I want to challenge you, like every one of you, to say, okay, what would your one day with God look like? And pick a day. And I can kind of hear, not that I can hear your thoughts, but I can guess your thoughts. Like, man, I'm so busy. I got so much to do. I can't do that. Here's the challenge. Every time I've done a funeral, I mention, because it's incredibly true, like someone passes away, maybe on a Monday, and on Saturday, that Saturday, we're at the funeral home. And I say, you know what? Every single person here, you already had things to do, I'm sure, on your Saturday. You already had probably a full plate. But this happened, this tragic event happened, this death happened, and you rearrange your schedule because this honoring the person who passed, honoring the loved ones left behind, that matters more than whatever was on your schedule. And you carved out time and you made time. So it's possible to do that. We do it all the time. For things that really matter, I pray this one really matters. You look and say, you know, what would one day with God between now and Labor Day look like? And maybe you have to push some things off your schedule, rearrange some things, say no to some things for this greater thing. I have more to share in my story as I shared. Next week, I'm going to take you the next leg of the journey. So this was between year 2 and 3. It's just a little sneak preview. But year 2 and 3, I was an intern at Kensington Church in Troy, the church where I came to faith in Christ. And I was an intern there for the summer. And I was still incredibly broken, still incredibly raw, just kind of coming out of this season that I'm in as I was an intern. And there were some things that happened during that internship that, again, God used. And particularly one thing that involves Dairy Queen. That's all I'm going to say. And my supervisor, Dave Nelson, that was significant. Again, another part of the healing journey. But that's to be continued next week. And so, again, I invite you, if you're in a desert, do something. Even if it's a small something. Don't become a Pharisee. Don't become legalistic. What counts, what doesn't count? Come up for prayer. Let us minister to you. And know that God hasn't left you. Amen. That you're not alone. Sometimes God might feel distant, but he's actually not. Because Scripture says he will never leave you. He will never forsake you. So with that, let me pray. God, I thank you for the prayers of the saints that carried me along today, even as I preached. And I pray, God, for this sermon that, Holy Spirit, it would just be seared in the hearts and minds of those who heard it. And God, that you would bless them. And God, that you would meet them in it. That they would know the step, maybe the baby step that they're to take. Or maybe, God, if they're in just an amazing place, in an oasis right now spiritually, there's someone that they care for that's in a desert that they can journey with, that they can partner with, that they can help lock arms with and take a step with them. One step out of the desert. God, I speak passion. I speak fire just over us. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Pray this in your name. Amen. Amen.
Thanks for listening to today's sermon. To stay up to date on all things The Mission, you can visit our website at themission.church.